Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 114, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist,
yeah,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers.
Wow.
And fuck Fox News.
Brave.
Oh,
as always.
It's Monday, December 23rd, 2019. This is going to be the only episode of this season, but we'll have plenty of holiday content. Holiday tent for you guys coming soon. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Will they blew up the Jack O'Brien in Philly last night? Will they blew up his house too? That's courtesy of Bruce Springsteen, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Atlantic City.
Lucky.
He's Zeitgang. And I'm thrilled to be joined by today's special guest co-host, Jamie Loftus.
And I'm here to remind you, ooh, that my dog Sunny got red pills. It's not fair to deny me of the Zamboni that I got tattooed.
That's all I got.
That was good. You sounded like her.
I went up into the nasal.
Yeah.
That's like Miley Cyrus.
That was awesome.
I learned from her.
Well, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian and performer, Teresa Lee.
Yay.
What up?
What
it's
up,
your
what
girl,
up?
Father Longlegs. Hello.
Father Longlegs, as she is known. What's up, Teresa? How are you doing this holiday season?
I'm so sorry that you're sick.
I know. I sound like shit. I look like shit.
I felt so bad when
you
I came in. I was like,
read.
Oh, no. You're like shit far away from me.
I have a sweater all wrapped around
just
my neck like a scarf.
It does look like, yeah, you are hanging a baby sweater from your neck. And it's nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
It's nerve-wracking.
I'm trying to put on my children's clothing. And I'm failing. Well, Teresa, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about today. We are, as always, going to give you a Masked Singer update, / we've never talked about that show before.
Okay.
But Jamie watches it, and yep, Jamie wants to tell us what's going on in the world of Masked Singer.
Yes.
We'll talk about how the president is continuing to deal well with being impeached. The fact that Wall Street has been systematically preventing Me Too stories from breaking with a PR machine. I've been waiting for that piece of information to come out, just knowing people who from that industry. It's a fucking disaster. We're going to look at the Democratic debate that happened at the end of last week, because this is Monday.
Right.
Wink, wink. Huh?
Wink, wink. I love Monday. I mean? I hate Mondays.
Yeah, Mondays.
I hate Mondays.
Yeah, it looks like you got a case of the Mondays.
Thank you so much.
I sound like I've got a case of the Mondays. We're also going to talk about the Carnival Cruise Lines that crashed into one another, and the fact that Carnival Cruise Line ships have silly names. Carnival Glory crashed into Carnival Legend.
Oh, no.
I know. We're going to look at Dwayne Wade being proud of his son. She is coming out as trans and like what, how he's just dealing well with it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's making a sincere effort.
He's making a sincere effort is a good way to put it. And we're going to look at the LGBTQ moment in Star Wars, in the new Star Wars movie that J.J. Abrams was proudly, smugly teasing us all with. But first, Teresa, we like to ask our guests, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, this is a very practical one, but I just bought a printer, which I'm very proud of.
Wow.
So I looked, but then I had problems setting it up, so I looked up the manual for the brother, MF, whatever. It's
but
like,
this is
MFC.
Just you flexing on the world that you
I mean,
have a
you,
printer?
Did you know you can buy a printer for $40?
No.
Yeah. I did not, because I've spent money going to FedEx and Kinko's to print when I need to print stuff. I don't print like that much, but it was enough where I was like, at some point I should get a printer.
Yeah.
I never Googled the cheapest printer.
It's a very adult move.
Yeah,
to get a
I was very proud. It did take me 9 hours. No,
is it fast? What's
it's
it like?
Okay, it has color.
Okay,
yeah, it's pretty cool.
Inkjet.
It's a, yeah,
dot matrix.
Photo, dot matrix.
Does it make the noise?
It's a 3D. No, it does make the noise. Yeah. What's that noise? No,
that's the printer noise
when it's singing. Yeah.
Or is it more like a photocopier?
No, it makes a noise, and also has a scanner, which. I just feel like
who knew Jamie was the Michael Winslow
wow.
of printers?
There you yeah. go. Printers. You should do it. Printer ASMR.
Ooh.
Because office noises are very soothing to me. Mm-hmm. I think because I grew up just like hanging out in my dad's office while he was working late, just like doing homework there. So I like when I hear office noises, I just feel comforted.
The That's sights, nice. Sounds, and smells of a comptroller's office really put me at ease.
Yeah, just go to Staples and cry.
Yeah, you can buy a printer for super cheap, but then the ink cartridges are like as expensive as the printer, which is how they get you.
I guess that's true. I haven't bought, I'm using the one that came with it.
Right.
So
yeah.
We'll see.
That's how they get you.
It's like dry clean clothes. It's like you get thrift store, really nice clothes at the thrift store and you're like, oh, this is $5. And you got to dry clean it for $20.
Right. What is something you think is overrated?
I think people saying they want to be friends as a way of breaking up with someone is overrated.
Mm.
Because I feel like it seems like a nice thing to say, because who doesn't want to, like if someone says, I want to be your friend, I feel like that's nice if you don't know them.
Yeah.
But if you have already, you know, had intimate relations with them and then they're like, I think I want to be your friend. I feel like that's a diss. That's like if you're getting fired as a VP and they're like, we have internship opportunities. It just feels like a diss, but I don't know how, like it's also rude to say that to someone. Like when they say it, you have to sort of like nod and be like, oh, thanks. That's so nice of you.
Right.
Right.
You're like you hold on.
No one actually wants to be like friends. Yeah. No, I can't imagine. Like imagine being friends with anyone who's ever been inside of you. It sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Ugh,
there's friends that I have that haven't been inside me. I don't want to be friends with. So
one thing at a time.
Right.
I agree.
What is something you think is underrated?
I think that, I don't know if you guys already talked about it, but I really like the movie The Art of Self-Defense, and I feel like it didn't get much. Have you guys already talked about it on this?
No.
Is that Jesse Eisenberg?
It's Jesse Eisenberg. I will say some people don't like it, so that's fine. That's your opinion. But I just think overall there wasn't much discussion about it at all, and it kind of got overlooked, and I feel like it did a lot of what the Joker tried to do, but like, well. It's well written, it's funny, and it's stylized, and it actually has a story that goes to a place where you don't expect.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. So I think they did a good job of it.
What? I don't even...
Riley Stearns, I think, directed and maybe also wrote it.
It's a karate?
It's pretty like indie. Yeah, but it should have... I mean, it's well written, and it had... I don't know. I just don't think they put in marketing behind it, so it didn't get much press.
I think somebody actually did come on and say The Art of Self-Defense is like a better version of The Joker. And then Wow. But I didn't even know what the art of self-defense was.
Well, it's
and
a,
I still didn't.
The premise is Jesse Eisenberg gets beat up, and he and then he goes to take karate classes, and sort of like a little bit of a, like a takedown. It's not truly a takedown, but it's definitely referencing Fight Club. And then he joins this karate studio, which is not really a karate studio. Like, it's stylized to be very clearly some weird culty thing. But it addresses a lot of that toxic masculinity, but in a very funny way that isn't that self-serving.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
You know what's also true is that there is no regulatory body for any martial arts thing, or for a lot of martial arts things. And
really?
So, like,
yeah, true.
You can just like get a black belt. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not, nobody's like checking
there's
you.
No
there's
board.
Not like a central board that's
just
like
your teacher. Is like,
yeah, it's just your teacher who like.
You just bribe your teacher for.
Yeah, there's no official certification as far as I know. I mean, maybe there is, but I also just know people who have gotten black belts.
Yeah, you wear one around sometimes.
I do.
At meetings.
My gi? Yeah. I do like to rock my gi into meetings.
That's
just
how you know someone's in trouble.
They do catch Max wearing his gi. They kind of address that in the movie because they really like look at the belts as this like icon, but and then at one point he buys them like actual belts to represent the belts. He's like, so you can wear these belts all the time, and it's just like a black belt.
Right.
And so I feel like they comment on it. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it doesn't, a belt doesn't mean anything. The whole idea is that you have the skill. So if you lied about it, you still can't defend yourself. So.
Right. That's funny.
It's on you, bitch. Oops.
You're allowed to say that.
Oh.
We're going to allow it. We'll Oops. Allow it.
Sorry.
Wow.
You're okay. Allowed to say bitch. What is
this one? Is Jack the purveyor who can say bitch?
Is this a clean podcast?
No, it's never been.
I'm pretty sure I've said cum on this podcast before.
I thought you said bitch and then oops, like you didn't. That's my fault. I'm out of it. What is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
This is a myth that I actually kind of is related to the Joker, but that's just what made me think of it. I feel like people talk about narcissists in the wrong way, and they mention it in that movie, and that's why I thought of this. But there's like a difference between narcissist with a lowercase n and like narcissistic personality disorder, and I think people always equate the two. And I think what people think are sociopaths are actually narcissists, like clinically.
Right.
And it always frustrates me so much because
yeah,
a lot of us are narcissistic and have narcissistic traits in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But then there's like people with NPD who are like cluster B personality disorders, and they're very dangerous. And I feel like they get equated with just like, well, who hasn't done something bad?
Right.
It's and, really frustrating. Yeah. It's like, and I don't think that like much media really does much to help of like
no.
conflating mental illnesses and like it.
And they love to show that in because they're interesting to watch on screen, but then they're not actually the thing. So then that's
right.
Like there's a good episode of Red Table Talk where Dr. Ramani, what's her last name? Ramani Dhruvasan, I think? Dhruvasula. She like specializes in it, and she talks about it kind of in a quick, easy to understand way. But the biggest difference is the pattern. So I think a lot of people, myself included, have done things we're not proud of, but that doesn't make you a narcissist unless you have a pattern of not changing and
right.
like manipulating people over and over. Mm-hmm. And so that's like the big thing is like you can see someone's behavior over years, and that's how you can tell, are they like an asshole or are they a narcissist who is
right.
doing this on purpose?
Right.
And so sociopath, like can that be a form of narcissism? Like sociopathy isn't that like a... also sort of a vague term or something? Like,
yeah,
doesn't
so
it just mean
like
somebody who has a pathological condition that makes them asocial? Like
well,
bad at
yeah,
society?
I think there's like lowercase sociopath, the way we use it, and then there's like antisocial personality disorder, which is,
right.
I think, what a sociopath is supposed to be.
Right.
And yeah, you're right. They tend to not, like, there's no empathy, and they also will just kind of use people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And narcissists don't have empathy, and they do use people, but the difference is they need to be loved, and they need attention. Mm-hmm. And so they're also very charming. And there's similarities, but I think they're different. I think sociopaths tend to be more overtly violent, and narcissists, there's a lot of covert ones who are, like, out in the world existing, being very nice, and are really horrible to, like, their intimate relationships.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's a lot of people who live here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This town's pretty bad, huh?
Yeah. Well, it takes.
Yeah, super hot takes. But I do feel like the president kind of is in that. What is a cluster B personality disorder? Like, what
it includes, like borderline and histrionic. It's just a cluster, I think. But I think the NPD one is interesting because I have to say, I'm not a doctor. I'm sure people are going to get mad at me for all the stuff I'm saying. This is stuff I've researched and in my experience. But they want to take it out. There's like a debate about wanting to take it out of the DSM.
NPD?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I think a lot of therapists disagree on it because a lot of them, narcissists are really hard to diagnose if you've never met one. But if you've met one, they're very obvious. Like you look at the signs, you're like, oh, that person's doing this over and over. But if you haven't met them, they're really good at convincing you that they have something else. Like, oh, I have borderline, or I was abused and this is why I act like this.
Oh, interesting.
And so it feels like they're just traits of other ones. But the biggest difference is there's a pattern and everyone who's interacted with them have the same stories. And that's where you're like, this has to be a thing. Like,
yeah.
There's like so many people with this experience.
I feel like I learned a lot about that distinction just in paying attention and like researching and living through the presidency of Donald Trump. Like, it's just like looking back at like people, everybody who he has interacted with throughout his career, like has the exact same experience he just like, people want to please him. They try to please him. They think they're going to get something out of it. And he eventually fucks you over like, in some way.
Discard. Well, that's the other thing that baffles me because it seems so obvious from far away, like how awful he is. But I think the difference too is that he's pretty effective around, like he's gotten this point. So I think that's the other misconception is that they're just like, oh, a bad person will just, once we realize they're bad, we'll just get rid of them.
Right.
But the other thing is they're very good at it.
Right.
So they are dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. Personality disorders and like predators, like predatory people, like that's in reading about like sexual predators and like doing research on sexual predators, you find out like they have, it's not just like some of their relationships are defined by like this specific pattern of behavior. Mm-hmm. It's that their entire being is like built up to like almost like an animal's entire like predator, like all of its skills, all of its like bones, everything about it is built towards like this one specific goal of being predatory towards whatever keeps them alive. Like that's what predators are. And yeah, I think the same can be true of NPD. But I am rambling. Let's talk about The Masked Singer.
Let's talk about
something important.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the real stuff.
Mental health care needs to be more accessible, but let's talk about The Masked
Singer. That's a good transition. Speaking of masks, they wear a mask.
Right?
Masked Singer,
yeah.
There you go.
Perfect transition. Okay.
Perfect metaphor for our narcissistic society.
So The Masked Singer, the most recent season, just concluded. There's so much to say. First of all, if you have been missing out on The Masked Singer, you're really missing out on some of the worst television you could possibly watch. I love it. I've been keeping up. I learned recently that Lindsay Lohan was a judge on The Masked Singer Australia, and she was fired. But like, why was she in?
She can't sing.
Well, it's, you don't. She wasn't on like as a contestant.
They don't judge.
She was a judge.
But don't they judge singing?
Yeah, but like Ken Jeong, sing.
He's my favorite singer, actually.
He's an incredible singer.
Ken Jeong.
I think her problem was that she didn't know anyone in Australia was. So she couldn't.
So she was like, you are famous?
The only job is to guess random celebrities. And she didn't know who anyone in Australia was. So they were like, oh, wait, this was stupid. Get out of here.
Her guess every time is like Chris Hemsworth and Crocodile Dundee, like just over and over again.
She's just like
Paul Hogan,
Margot Robbie, like there's that, or Toni Collette. Those are all the Australians that I know of. Okay,
yeah.
But anyways, I'm just gonna spoil it. If you're like concerned about Masked Singer spoilers, honestly, get a life.
but skip forward now.
I feel like if they care, they would have watched the finale.
Get a life and skip forward. But okay, so the winner this season. dressed as a steampunk fox.
What the fuck does that even mean?
Is that like
you
Star Fox?
No.
I love Star Fox. No,
Star Fox is hot, but they're trying to avoid Star Fox comparisons.
Oh, okay.
But it's like some steampunk fox looking thing. It's Wayne Brady. And when Wayne Brady, okay, first of all, if Wayne Brady wins a steampunk fox, he's thrilled. Already very embarrassing. and then third place, Adrian Bailon, dressed as a flamingo.
Cheetah Girls,
oh, yes. Or 3LW, okay. Depending on your flavor.
What is she?
She was Kardashian adjacent for a while there. Didn't she date Rob?
Oh, did she?
She did. I think she did.
Why is she Cheetah Girl? Won.
You know, the Disney original D-Kong. Cheetah Girls?
Uh-huh.
Right,
totally.
Jack? Yep. You know.
Yeah, because I'm young. Why is in touch with youth culture.
It actually probably makes me old because it's a very old. I feel like young people would not know.
Why is she a cheetah girl is a very existential question that I am not in a position to answer at this time.
Okay.
But she was the, whatever, runner-up. I don't know what it's called. And then the runner-up, dressed as a Rottweiler, was Chris Daughtry.
Oh, no.
Chris Daughtry. And then he said, like, what would
that?
Runner
up from American Idol, right?
And he had this really tragic, like he tried to make a joke, but it just really bummed everyone out. Where he's like, I really just can't win things, can I? And everyone's like, ooh. And then everyone else is like, who is that? And but that's the theme song. Who is that?
Is that really what the theme song is?
That's literally the whole theme song.
Who is that?
They just go, ooh, 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 who is that? Anyways, Wayne Brady won. He was so excited. It was really hard to watch. It was very embarrassing. You're not supposed to want to win. You're not supposed to be honored when you win. You're just supposed to be like, oh, awesome. Like this was like 8 weeks out of my life. I hope people care about me again.
Do they win anything?
No. They just win that they lost 8 weeks of their lives
right.
in an attempt to be relevant again. And I love that for them, but he was just, I don't know, for my taste, he was loving it a little too much. He was like, I was obsessing over every detail. Winning will allow me to showcase my skills as a singer and finally write my own story.
I'm like, oh my God.
Who is writing Wayne Brady's story in a way that wasn't satisfactory to
right.
him? He's been I don't know. Anyways, Nick Cannon said, whoa, what a treat.
Nick Cannon is really on?
He's the host, of course.
Nick Cannon.
And Robin Thicke guest, who all three of them were in week one, because Robin Thicke is the smartest person on the panel.
I know somebody
and he's also the worst.
I know somebody who edited this on a freelance basis, and they said that they had to constantly edit out Robin Thicke vaping.
Oh my God.
I know that Lacey had like a friend or a former roommate who would get into the suits for like the packages. Because you're like, oh, I guess that Adrian Bailon doesn't get dressed up as a flamingo to not be seen
right.
in B-roll. So Lacey knows some people who dress up as B-roll. She's a Hollywood A-lister.
Couldn't they just do like stunt doubles and then just like VO a singing? Like how do we know that they're ever actually there?
I guarantee they're sometimes not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to know about, I just want, if anyone has access to the inside, hit my DMs. I want to know what's going on. I want to know, I feel like no one likes, I like Nicole Scherzinger. I like her. I wish she had been in Cats.
She would have been great in Cats.
She covered Memory in a way a couple of years ago, and it was beautiful.
So Adrian Bailon, you think, should have won.
Yes.
She was dressed as
my cheetah girl, a flamingo.
A flamingo. And she is 4'11", which it would strike me that people should have been able to tell who it was, because that is very short.
Right. But much like you, Jack, a lot of people have no idea who Adrian Bailon is.
What? I never said that.
Much
I know
less,
who she is.
I also didn't know her height either,
much less
to
that
be
she's
fair.
Short.
I had no idea what her height was.
She could have been 6 feet tall, and I would have been like, yeah.
Oh, she's the cheetah girl. Yeah. Okay. There. Yeah, I already forgot
But why
that
is
part.
She a cheetah girl?
But why?
But why?
We must know.
But why?
So that's the update.
Is she cheetah girl?
They've already started to reveal costumes from season 3, and one they're just like they're kind of running out,
right.
And so now they're just doing they're doing a mouse, but the mouse is dressed up like it's like in the movie Midsommar. Don't know why.
Midsommar Mouse.
Midsommar Mouse.
Nice.
Love to see it.
Exciting. Well, keep your eyes peeled for that, guys. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about other stuff.
Sick Jack.
Aww. Sick Jack.
Sick. Jack,
sick. Sick.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back.
Yeah.
Let's talk impeachment.
Okay.
We don't. We're in the other studio, so we do not have the impeaching this creep drop. Mm-hmm. But I think my pronunciation of it was pretty fun and had some stank on it. So you guys probably enjoyed that.
That's good.
So Trump, Ivanka went on a interview show where she was like, I think we're energized from this. Like, I think people are just energized. He seems very angry just across the board by not deciding to pass the articles on to the Senate. The Democrats seem to have taken a little bit of agency back because people are mad.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
tell Trump is pissed.
Such a baby.
I know. And a conservative evangelical magazine that was started by the Reverend Billy Graham wrote an opinion piece saying that he should be removed from office. And this has become his number one focus is calling them out as a bunch of leftists. You know, the wow. leftist yeah, evangelical the Christianity movement.
Leftists. What a mess.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a mess.
It's a mess. It's a true. I keep like tuning in and out of it as like the proceedings just kind of drag on because it's just like painful to watch. I'm glad that it's happening, but I don't particularly want to look at it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't feel empowered by the fact that it's happening. It's like, okay, but you know, there is a good meme about it.
Right.
About how they were like the American working class is like drowning, and then they're like, but uh-huh. we impeached him, and right. then they drown yeah. forever.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about it.
It does yeah. feel like it's like, because people are celebrating it as a win, but what we're really doing is just like, it's like we're already so in the negative that we're just like kind of, it's like when you play slot machines, you know, and you're like putting $20 and you win, like it, you get the like ding, 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 but you're actually winning like half of what you put in. So right. you're still losing, but you're like, okay, well, we got something.
It's right. something. It is definitely
it
is
something.
Something.
It's better than losing completely. But I think it just feels like we're in a burning house and we are just excited that we finally all agreed it was fire. Like,
right.
Right.
Yeah. Let's put it out. Let's put it out. Let's
but we're
get
like,
out.
You know what? This is bad.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Democratic debate, guys.
Mm. Okie doke.
Bernie has continued to do his Bernie thing. CNN named him the only loser of the debate, other than Buttigieg, who they also named a winner. Buttigieg was a winner and a
CNN
loser.
Needs to. Oh my God!
Everywhere I look, it's a different opinion. Because I was.
Yeah.
CNBC was saying that Bernie won, I think, or they had like they featured a guy from LA Times, and then that's what the headline was, that he won, and I think Politico right. was saying like, well, Biden said the least things, but he was so stable, so he won. It's
like there was Biden didn't explode into a cloud of blood, so when you think about it, he got it really held steady.
That does seem to be the thing, like people, so the takes are Biden didn't like have one of those things where he starts rambling and people are all embarrassed for him.
Yeah.
And then Sarah Sanders helped him out by like mocking his stutter, being like, I don't know what Joe Biden is trying to say.
That was some fun spin that showed up in like my Twitter top stories right. where it's like, leave Joe Biden alone. He yeah. had a stutter as a kid. You're like, okay, that's an interesting pivot.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a great way to just have Sarah Huckabee Sanders like talk about anyone and they're going to look awesome.
Yeah. I mean, and also her criticizing someone on not sounding eloquent enough. Right. Like, right. Who are, ma'am.
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 I do like calling her ma'am.
Ma'am. I'm addicted to calling her ma'am.
Ma'am. She calm has down.
Big ma'am energy. I watched it reluctantly. I watched that and then I watched Star Wars and it was just a bad wow. night for me. Bad, bad night.
Ooh,
and the Masked Singer?
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
What is Star Wars?
What is?
Here's the thing.
Why is Star Wars?
Why is Daisy Ridley Star Wars?
Here's the thing. The stars have never been warmer, baby. All nine of the stars were really warm last night. I went with Caitlin, and Caitlin loved it because she is, I don't know, we're different. Because
wow.
we're different. And I thought, I was laughing a lot, but at the wrong well, right. I also don't know. I just became a Star Wars fan, as you know, two
right.
weeks ago.
Yeah.
Mm. So I'm like, what a waste of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
For some people, it's a waste of 40 years. But also,
yeah. life. Yeah.
But, you know, remember, if you're mad about it, you're a fucking adult. So.
Right.
No, I liked the, in as far as the debate goes, the wine cave.
So what was that? Can you explain that to me?
So Pete Buttigieg is, I'm not a huge fan of his, but he is the candidate who is, you know, taking large dollar he's like taking money from billionaires.
Yeah.
And he recently had a fundraiser at like a winery. And I guess wineries have wine caves. So there's a bunch of pictures of Mr. Pete and a bunch of billionaires in a cave full of wine. It is like very kind of dystopian, freaky Trump orb picture kind of, I thought.
It was a closed fundraiser, private invite only.
Yeah, like if you don't have enough commas, you're not invited to the wine cave.
Right.
Whole thing. So he was being like baby JFK, or like you want like he thinks he is or whatever. So that's what that was. And then Elizabeth Warren called him out on it. And then he said, hey, I have less money than everyone here. And then you're like, well, what is this? I don't care about this. Why are...
Elizabeth Warren said that?
Well,
he said that. He said if I, he was like, I'm the only one on the stage that's not a billionaire or millionaire. So he was like, if you, Elizabeth, donated to me, are you saying that I shouldn't take it because you're a billionaire? But then it didn't make him look good because he started attacking. And then it really felt like this is like what we don't want. Because when you start throwing these attacks out, whoever gets the nomination is going to just be starting from such a far away place because we're going to have all this negative energy.
I feel like he got some jabs in and like did okay given how much he was being attacked.
Right.
But
Buttigieg.
Buttigieg. Yeah. I mean, like he tried to defend himself, I think, with some like, but everyone was kind of going for him last night.
Yeah.
I don't think he would do well against Trump for some reason. I just feel like he would.
Jack, I've said it before. I'll say it again. Ask Seth MacFarlane.
Okay? You do keep saying that.
Where Seth MacFarlane
about every
goes,
question I
so
ask
goes
you.
The nation. So goes the nation.
He's a big Buttigieg fan. Yeah.
He was in the wine cave.
Yeah. I bet he was, actually.
I bet he was.
I bet him and Papa John were in there together.
Papa John. They would be in a wine cave.
They
kind of
look like
Pete
they could
Buttigieg.
Be brothers.
Oh, no.
Ooh,
sick
mean.
Burns on Seth MacFarlane. Right. Well, speaking of donations from billionaires, I thought Bernie, I mean, I only watched this through clips, guys. I was like asleep for the past 24 hours, in case you can't tell. I don't even know who the president is right now. But,
oh, my God.
It's all a dream.
It's a fever dream. Jack's sweater is getting tinier and tinier as he keeps talking.
I'm wearing a child sweater as a scarf, and I am conscious for the first time in 24 hours. But this clip, I thought, was the sickest billionaire burn that I've heard from the debate.
I am rather proud, maybe, I don't know, the only candidate up here doesn't have any billionaire contributions. But you know what I do have? We have received more contributions from more individuals than any candidate in the history of the United States of America at this point in an election, averaging $18 apiece. Now, there's a real competition going on up here. My good friend Joe, and he is a good friend, he's received contributions from 44 billionaires.
Ooh.
Pete, on the other hand, is trailing. Pete, you only got 39 billionaires contributing.
Ooh.
So, Pete, we look forward to you. I know you're an energetic guy and a competitive guy to see if you can take on Joe on that issue. But what is not a laughing matter, my friends.
Matter.
This is why three people own more wealth than the bottom half. This is why Amazon and other major corporations pay zero in federal taxes. We need to get money out of politics. We should run our campaigns on that basis.
Thank you, Senator Sanders, Vice President.
Bernie's hands were completely over his head that entire time.
He only has one speech, and I think people
like
trust that about him, maybe, because that's what Chris Saliza, the CNN political analyst, was like. I mean, he was just talking about billionaires and millionaires the whole time. It's like, we get it, but I think people, I don't know, that seemed to resonate with people, at least there.
There was also there was a couple times when people tried to make jokes that didn't land.
Right.
Yeah, which like,
well, mostly
love.
Andrew Yang.
Wait, what did Andrew Yang say?
A couple times, but he would pause for them. Like, I could tell with the Bernie one, it worked, but you could tell he expected a laugh because he said, it's no laughing matter.
Right.
But Yang would, like, pause, and then it would be, like, silent, just the joke would bomb, and then he would kind of laugh at himself. There's one where he said he's like, the government is, like, America is a something about exports or the biggest thing America produces, and he's like, what do they produce? Bad decisions?
You're like,
and then
swish for you.
He kind of, like, laughed at himself.
Three.
Silent.
Swish.
Andrew Yang does make me laugh sometimes. Like I feel like he is maybe one of the, at least a sense of humor, he's not funny.
Right.
I'm like, he would laugh at a joke.
He has a
Most people on that
humor.
Stage, I don't know that they would laugh at a joke.
Right.
They'd be like,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Tech boy.
So Elizabeth Warren got some questions about her age for some reason, even though this the thing that they were criticizing her for would be true of, I think, Biden as well, and Trump Bernie. If he wins, yeah. And Bernie.
Yeah.
And yeah, everybody's old as fuck.
Yeah.
All the leading candidates are the oldest people ever.
It's a thing.
Yeah. So the PBS hosts were like, hey, Elizabeth Warren, why are you so old? And she put them in their place.
Senator Warren, you would be the oldest president ever inaugurated. I'd like you to weigh in as well.
I'd also be the youngest woman ever inaugurated.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like her. I just like her.
She's very
as
quick
a
and smart and consistent. Like, yeah. When she does put people in their place, it's not just for the sake of getting a, you know, like a meme. It's because it comes from the true place. So,
yeah.
Because she's addressing, like, it shows that she has a different way of thinking because they're only thinking about this, but she's like, yeah, you're ignoring this other glaring fact that nobody's thinking about. These blind spots that she can see.
Yeah. That was fun.
That was fun.
I thought there was a lot of like identity stuff that came in that I'm like, I could see that being, I feel like this late, I feel like they need to start thinking bigger. I don't know if you noticed that, Jamie, because I know you didn't watch the whole thing, but there were a couple of moments like obviously Yang kept mentioning, you know, I'm a person of color, all that stuff.
Right, the only one left
and
that's
then
debating.
Klobuchar, which I think was a valid question, but he like really stresses that. And then Klobuchar really stressed her being from the Midwest and just really understanding her state, which I think is important to get to be a candidate. But now you need to think bigger. Like, you can't just be like, I'm this specific thing, therefore.
She and Mayor Pete were kind of having an Indiana off at one point. And
well,
you're
he
like,
said, he
no
also said he's like, as a
this.
Gay dude, I'm like, we all know the things you represent now. At this point, we just want to see you be a good leader. We don't need to hear the you know, the little byline. This isn't Hollywood going like, so why should we hire you? Well, as a queer woman of color, you know,
right. I mean, I think that like Yang's point was very well taken in that. And then I think that like the remaining candidates should be pressed more on that. I feel like they don't really ever have to like
address it.
Answer for that. But yeah, the Indiana off was exhausting to me. You're like, who is this for? This is for no one.
Chris Eliza thought that Klobuchar had the best debate. So
she talked a lot. she talked a lot.
Well, because they're just waiting for everybody to. It's like the Jeb Bush in 2016, where they're just like, eventually everybody will turn back to the center and centrist politics will win out again. Mm-hmm. And that just doesn't seem to be where things are headed.
She did say, when I'm your president, which I thought was a funny moment. Like, she said that to Bernie, I think. And I feel like they all got coached to say, when I'm your president, because it came up a couple of times when people just like shoehorned it into the conversation.
Right.
They'd be like, well, thanks for answering. When I'm your president, I have to say the word president 40 times.
I try and say it at least a couple of times every day just to
Remind people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to remind people.
Just a bit, manifest it. Put it out there.
Right.
You say that in your gi.
Right. In my gi.
You're like,
I'm in my
really,
three-point pose.
What's going on with
I have a white belt with three green stripes. So that is,
could
that,
mean anything.
That was the extent of my karate when I was a child. I got all the way up to three green stripes. I have to register my hands as deadly weapons now. All right, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back.
Yay.
Yay. Let's talk about Wall Street having...
Do we have to? No.
So you went to school in New York, right, Teresa?
I did, yeah.
Did you meet a lot of like Wall Street bros?
I did. Yeah, I went to school early 2000s, and it was a lot of like it was the iBankers ruled the clubs.
Yeah.
You know? I think...
That's
well,
what
I don't
I
know
lived
if it's different now.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, it could be different now, or I could just not care about clubs anymore. But there was definitely a couple of years, like a 3-year window of my life when it was like I was meeting a lot of iBankers, and they were like I very much understood their culture, even though I despise it.
Yeah,
but they're very like I don't know that at the I'll say sometimes it's comforting because they're so predictable.
Right,
you know exactly what you're gonna get.
Yes, very consistent values. That are abhorrent.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the most part. But yeah, so this is not surprising. I'm a little surprised that it hasn't become more of a thing up to this point, but Wall Street seems like it's having a Me Too, sort of a Me Too movement, but have been systematically preventing it.
It's frustrating. I mean, there's been like stories that have cropped up about it over the past 2 years, like every once in a while. Like, but all the headlines are like, when is Wall Street going to have a Me Too movement?
Right.
And then it doesn't happen. And then like this year, things slowly started to happen. One of the first Wall Street Me Too cases actually made it to court, which was huge. That was with Sarah Tershwell. And then there's a new piece in Bloomberg Business Week, ever heard of it, by Max Abelson and Katia Porzakonski, that is kind of just exploring what the state of Wall Street having a Me Too moment is. I think that that case moving forward really shook some people, and they did some investigation into like the extent of how women are systematically silenced and sort of like the PR machine that goes behind it. So there was an example of a bond saleswoman that sued her former firm, who basically brought up that she was being, you know, like sexually mistreated in the workplace, and that she, when she reported it to HR, she was fired.
Right.
And they successfully at the time argued against her, saying that like she had to keep her complaint out of HR. And so the state of what's happening and the, I mean, it's like money really is everything in these situations where many of the women either, you know, it's one thing of like, you can't always afford to fight that fight in court, but it's a whole other thing when it's, you know, the way that Wall Street contracts work, like you're so mired in secrecy and like you can never work again.
Yeah.
In like still such a male dominated industry. So
it's also very money motivated. I mean, like, I think it's awful that women deal with this in any industry, but Wall Street specifically has a money motivated trajectory. So even the women who are in there are probably money motivated and they don't deserve that treatment, but they could. They might take buyouts more easily, so some stuff wouldn't make it to public. And that's unfortunate that that's the system. But people who are in Wall Street, like both men and women, tend to be more motivated by money and image. So they're more likely to be the kind of women who are like, this fucking sucks, but I'm going to deal with it because I want to be seen as an equal and I'm going to just like be a cutthroat, you know, boss or whatever.
And then even like, I mean, I think that like a lot of Me Too stuff has been kind of constricted to entertainment and with famous people because that's something that people, I mean, people, not that they like to hear it, but they're like, oh, that's someone I know. I have some sort of parasocial connection to this person. So I'm interested in their fight. And I think that kind of the powers that be are sort of counting on people. They're like, well, no one knows who she is, so who cares? And so like where the state of things are, according to this investigation, is that like some cases are moving forward, but for the most part, there are people that are like women are still for the most part fighting to even be able to report it in the first place
without getting
much
fired.
Less. Exactly. Like much less actually be able to take it to court. There is another example they cite at M&G in London. Don't know. They have $450 billion. So a woman complained about one of the top money managers there. And reported it to HR, and they told her to smile less around him and to dress more conservatively.
Cool, that's crazy.
So even when you are reporting to HR, you could lose your job or just basically be told to go fuck yourself.
Stop smiling. Like, why are you feeling early, joy around this guy?
That was the early 1900s. When was that feedback given?
Yesterday?
But that is like the dress code. Like so much of that is just embedded into the culture. Because I remember my friends were applying and doing recruiting. They have to... Like women have, like a lot of places have to wear pantyhose. There's all this like rules around dress to begin with that's already sexist. So you're starting from, you're not starting from an equal place. I mean, I remember going out with some of my friends who are in finance right after Me Too kind of broke, and they were talking about it. And the way they talked about it is so different from the way we talk about here in LA.
Yeah.
Like they, one of my friends literally goes like, oh, it's so funny that people are telling these stories. I didn't even realize like these things were bad. Like, oh, and then they would laugh about it. They're like, oh, one time I was in a meeting and this guy grabbed my leg and I was like, that's weird. And I was like, that's harassment. Yeah. And she was like, yeah, but it happens all the time and it's fine. Like she truly was so desensitized to it that she didn't even realize it was a thing that she should be mad about.
Yeah. I mean, and that's like a time thing too. It's just like, it's anytime a story that comes up about like a non-entertainment industry Me Too story, you just like, it just like makes you think about how many, it makes you think, first of all, but just like of how many industries that are even like super, like relatively privileged, like Wall Street is. And then you go down to like, I mean, sexism and mistreatment in like the service industry.
Yeah.
Which, oh my God.
With like, you know, like low income America. It's just, oh, so anyways, things aren't getting better. Great year for women though. That's the story.
There's never been a woman CEO on Wall Street.
Still?
Wow. Yeah.
They haven't even graduated to girl boss. That's how far behind Wall Street is. They can't even, they haven't even gotten their Elizabeth Holmes.
Apparently, absurd. Right before the 2008 market kind of correction / crash, there were a number of candidates. People were like, oh, they're going to have a woman CEO finally. And then like after the crash,
she
like,
mysteriously died.
Right. But what if she gets her period?
Right, oh, exactly.
God,
she could bleed on the money.
She'll hemorrhage. Oh God. So, that's just basically a long way of saying things aren't getting better.
Yeah. Let's talk about like Carnival Cruise Lines. They had they're trending right now as of this recording.
As of this recording, no injuries have been reported.
Yeah.
And everyone's okay and the ships are okay. So it's actually just funny.
Yeah. The captain of one of them is presumably suffering from a bad hangover. But otherwise.
How did they get? This video is crazy.
These ships
are gigantic.
They're like right up against
each other.
I
love it. I hope that two people meet on the crashed boat and they fall in love.
Oh, right. Yes.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Terrible Titanic
reboot.
Story.
The boat doesn't sink. And
It is like a lifelong ambition to go on a cruise someday
and crash crash
the boat. Yeah. So someone really stole my fire here. I mean, right now this is just kind of a funny story. Like, it is kind of fun to watch two cruise ships just plow into each other.
Right.
The Carnival Glory crashed into the Carnival Legend.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Two gigantic ass boats. You really can't miss each other. Broad daylight.
You can barely tell they're moving, like, when you're watching it at regular speed. And because, like, you have to see them at a distance, it just looks like they're next to each other. But then one of them moves back and you can tell that there's like a...
And you're like, oh no. Yeah,
a whole vast swath of the other boat that's just been fucked up.
So as of right now, yeah, everyone's fine and some people are just having a shitty or awesome vacation. I don't know. They'll probably get another... I'm guessing people will just get another cruise. They'll just get a free cruise.
And then they'd have to go on a...
And then they have to go on a second cruise.
There was that... Was Carnival the one where it got stopped in the middle of the ocean and everybody, like, it smelled like poop because they couldn't get rid of... There was like cruise that got stranded.
That happens a lot, I feel like. And it's always so gross.
I want to go on a cruise so bad.
I don't want to be stuck on a boat with... Think about any time I'm... When I'm at like a bar, I'm like, I don't want to be here more than like 2 hours. Like, you're stuck in the same place with the same people.
Yes, I can't
strangers.
Do it. I could not do
for
it.
Days.
Have you ever done it?
No. I can't.
I really want to do it. I kind of want to go by myself and then just make friends.
Yeah.
I would perform on a cruise because at least I would be getting paid for it.
Have you ever met a comic after they like come off their cruise thing though? They're like so upset.
Yeah. It's not really fun. Nobody likes it.
Because it's like you're hired for like months at a time. Stare. And that, they're just like, oh boy. But I guess it's good money.
They do
something.
The ones where you go with like bands that kind of get back together, like old pop punk bands.
Those are
fun because the fans are really excited to be there.
Right.
And then they're like happy to see you and you're friends with the band and they think you're cool, but you don't have to do much. They're not there for you.
We should perform on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
But only once they crash. This is our final offer.
The legend. The Carnival legend.
Cheetah Girls cruise ship.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
People would go on that ship.
Yeah.
They would lose their mind.
Oh, yeah. I feel like the more narrow the like focus of the pop culture, the better if you can fill out a whole ship.
Yep.
So Star Wars. I want to talk to you about Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Did you really just start watching 2 weeks ago?
Yes. Wow. Well, I had seen the two, we've done two Star Wars morms on Bechdelcast. Mm-hmm. So I'd seen those ones. And then I saw Revenge of the Sith in theaters with my grandfather and he fell asleep and we thought he died.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
But he didn't.
Oh,
he was just roasting the movie.
He was just like motionless and didn't seem to be breathing.
Right.
Anyways, so I'd seen like one movie from each trilogy.
Mm.
And then I watched The Last Jedi. And then I went to see this movie.
What did you think of the original trilogy?
Just saw the first one, fun romp. Liked it.
Yeah.
Liked it.
Yeah, it's a blast.
Liked it. The Revenge of the Sith, I remember thinking was really cool. And it's
really?
I just didn't know. I was 10. But it was, you know, it's not very good, but,
right.
I rewatched it because that's supposed to be the best of those three anyways.
Mm.
And, whatever, it's still pretty good. And then the new one just was like, I forget what critic said this, but it was like, one critic was like, it felt like getting punched in the face for 2.5. It's like,
I don't know.
Well, just like
in that so much happens, just everything happens. They answer so many questions that I don't think that I or anyone had. They're like, oh, let's resolve this. You're like, who is that? Like, what are you talking about? I can't speak as a fan and everyone gets pissed at me, but like, I just feel like it told me so much about things I didn't care about and then left out everything that I liked about it. And Kelly Marie Tran was only in it for like 45 seconds.
Oh, really? What?
It fucking sucked. Yeah. They like wrote her out of
so
it
good
entirely.
In the second one.
She's great. And then I think J.J. Abrams was like, that wasn't my idea. And then he just wrote her out, made her act against Carrie Fisher's dead tennis balls, which is rude. And I don't think Carrie Fisher would have liked that.
No.
So
people were saying that you could tell that some of the Carrie Fisher scenes were just like cut outtakes from the previous like movies.
She's amazing and like I love her so much and all due respect, but it's like they were outtakes for a reason. They were not great takes.
Right.
Is she a big part of this movie?
I mean, it's like very limited what she's able to do, but like given that she's been dead
for
3 years.
So it's not CGI. Oh, it's actual outtakes, or is it CGI?
I think it's a little bit of both. It's definitely a lot of like Force Awakens outtakes. Yeah. And then I don't even know if J.J. Like Abrams used Last Jedi outtakes because he's such a petty little bitch.
It's so weird when they do that because at least with the last movie, I feel like it was halfway through. They were making it when... So it felt like an homage in the last one to have her still in it. But but to continue just being like, we're just going to keep bringing you back to life. It's I didn't watch this. I don't know this movie and how it feels, but
yeah, I guess just like in a spoiler free way, I'm like I felt like everything happened, but there were no consequences, and the ending was dumb as shit.
Right.
But
it
also,
sounds like they
I'm
read all the negative comments from the last movie and like reverse engineered it from like making the negative comment.
I think it's a
happy.
I think it's a great month for Ryan Johnson. I feel like he's just
right,
like, and he's like
he's
too
like,
classy to say anything.
How about go fuck yourself, J.J. Abrams?
He's like his movie did amazing, and then everyone fucking hated the new Star Wars. Which I mean, whatever. I like him, and I hope that he in his heart he's like, haha.
But you guys, J.J. Abrams is woke, though. I mean, he's cool.
Oh boy.
So,
what's about to come?
In an interview, he said it's important to him that people who go to see this movie feel that they're being represented in the film, specifically in reference to the LGBTQ community.
Oh, but not Kelly Marie Tran.
Not Kelly Marie Tran.
She gets cut out.
She got totally written out. The Finn also, I think, like, they did not resolve his character in any way whatsoever.
Is that John Boyega?
Yeah, they like he's in it more than he's in The Last Jedi, I think, but it's like they still don't like give his couldn't identify a real arc for him. And that fan service, I'd like this whole Disney thing where they're like, okay, is it queer representation if two people you've never met kiss for one second? No.
Yeah. Like, so teased this is he added with a smile that I'm giving away nothing about what happens in the movie, but I did just say what I just said.
Wait, what was the quote that he said?
It's important to me that there are people.
Okay.
See a movie where people feel like they're being represented in the film. I'm giving away nothing about what happens in the movie, but
really
I just
isn't.
Said that.
He's so proud. He's like, I just like 2 weeks ago, he went to Pride for the first time, and he's like, guys, I had a lot of fun, and gay people are cool, so I decided to acknowledge they exist in this universe.
J.J. Abrams is like, ever since Bank of America started recognizing Pride Month, I'm starting to think there's something to this. It was, it's a total, like, I mean, it's the only thing you can say for it is that it's better than nothing, I guess.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's a celebratory kiss. Two women.
They did the same thing with two men in Beating the Beast.
Oh, yeah, I heard, but it was just like a final moment kind of thing.
It was, it's a similar deal. At the very end of the movie, two characters you don't care about. Well,
right.
You're like, okay.
Yeah, the reviewers say it was literally a blinking you miss it moment, and it's so blink you miss it that China didn't even bother to edit it out. They didn't even bother censoring it.
That's how you know it's too straight.
Also,
right.
Star Wars, I mean, this is, as of this recording, Star Wars is fucking tanking in China. No one is seeing it. It's like fifth in the box office.
Damn. I feel like if he wants to make it more queer, he needs to put more poetry, more crying. Just like, you like know.
Something.
Yeah, that's what I want to see. Like, people writing haikus in the Star Wars universe.
Right.
I didn't realize that, like, when the credits were rolling, you see all the different writers. And one of the writers was literally the guy who wrote, like, Batman v Superman. Like, one of the worst regarded movies of the decade. Like, so you're just like, God, everyone is a coward and a loser. And I'm, you know, whatever. I'll see it again. The end.
I'll see it again.
Yep. 10 out of 10. Can't wait.
Do
for
they
cats.
Get, I feel like the first movies were political and now they're kind of going more, I haven't seen this one, so I don't know. Is it political or does it feel more like now it's just story?
It's not even really a story. It's kind of just a lot of things in a row.
It's just laser. It's a light show. You have to be on Molly to watch it.
Right.
There's a really good new tiny Muppet.
Ooh.
His name is
better than Baby Yoda?
I haven't seen Helmet show, so I don't know. But I like him. I liked him. His name was Babu Frick.
Aww, that's cute.
He's cute. He's really small. So I was like, all right, you know what? Yeah. I would buy that.
Gotta sell that merch.
Gotta sell that merch.
To sell that merch.
I'm excited to see Cats. I hear that Jason Derulo screams, oh, milk!
Oh, really?
Aww. Yes.
I love Cats. I was Mr. Mesopheles in high school.
No way.
And really? That was when I peaked.
That
wait,
is truly...
Like no, not on a Broadway. Musical production?
Yeah. For a high school community theater.
Or just like when you went to high school, you always dressed as
Mr.
Mesopheles. Oh, yeah.
Every day. I lived the lifestyle.
I lived as Mr. Mesopheles.
I jumped around the quad.
That's so fucking cool.
No, I did it for, my high school community theater production.
Do you love Cats?
I love Cats, and I stand by Cats, and I don't care. People hate Cats. People say it to my face. Will Miles has a joke about hating Cats, and he ran into me watching Cats, and every time I'm at the same show as him, he looks at me and goes, sorry, Teresa. It's true. I love Cats. It's
wait, what? Good. Miles has
Will,
a...
No, Will Miles.
Will Miles.
Oh, Will Miles.
A comedian, yeah.
Got it.
I'm very excited to see it. I hope it's the worst. I hope it's so bad.
I think you're going to be satisfied.
Everyone says that they're like, I'm so uncomfortable. It's too horny. Jason Derulo yells milk too many times. I feel like it's going to become like a midnight movie, you know? Like,
yeah, that's what people are saying, it that it'll be the new Rocky Horror Picture. Mm-hmm. But like, if that movie was real bad.
I like it. I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. I'm excited for you.
Thanks,
and
Jack.
Guys, this is the end of the episodes for the year 2019. We'll be back in 2020. It's so hard. We have so much year-end content coming to you. Decade-end content, ooh, in fact. So get ready for all of that shit to drop. Miles will be back for most of it. And yeah. Teresa, it's been a blast having you.
Thanks for having me.
Where can people find you and follow you?
Oh, I have a podcast. You can listen to it. Comedians come on and confess something they've never told anyone before. Jamie's done it.
I've done it.
It's called You Can Tell Me Anything. Mm. And you can follow me at Larissa T. And watch my short film that's out online. It's called I Think She Likes You.
Yeah.
If you liked, last time I came on, I talked about threesomes. The short's about a threesome. So go watch it. It's on YouTube.
Do it. Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, yes. I like this tweet from Benny M. Bazuna, who's a comedian in LA. He said, living in the past is depression and living in the future is anxiety, but living in the present, well, chef's kiss, that can also be bad.
Jamie, where can people find you?
You can find me online at Jamie. Jamie Loftus Help on Twitter, Jamie Curry Superstar on Instagram. Santa University comes out on December 25th. If you live in New York, you can come see me at Joe's Pub on February 10th. Ooh. And if you live in Philadelphia, you can come see me at Blue Heaven Comedy Festival on February 8th. And then we'll also be at the Bell House in New York with Bechtelcast on January 24th. Thank you.
Mm. Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yes, it's super producer Anna Hosnier's tweet about a pop-up hot dog toaster that someone mailed to her. It simply says, who sent me this? And goddamn bless your heart. I didn't know this existed.
Yes.
Have you used it yet?
Anna, have you used
it? Have you used it?
She has not used it yet.
It looks incredible.
But she did.
It looks like a car.
We did we did a segment of the podcast that was like our favorite things, and that was one of Anna's favorite things.
Wait, it toasts the bun too?
Yeah, toast the bun and heats the hot dog.
This is the future!
Yeah.
And then there's a tweet from Jenny Nicholson at Jenny E. Nicholson. After she saw Star Wars, she said, "A Star Wars movie where you clap at the end, not because it was good, but because it's over and it can't hurt you anymore."
That's funny. Tweet, "I've been enjoying Dana Gould," tweeted, "I wrote a movie where Taylor Swift shits in a box, but I guess cats beat me to it." You can find me on Twitter, Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. I'm going to do it today, if that's all right.
Okay, he's wearing his gi.
I'm wearing my gi. I'm in charge now. I want to ride out on Tilted by Christine and the Queens.
Ooh, it's a really good
song that I just found out about, but from earlier in the day. It's my favorite song. It's my son, my three-year-old's favorite song, and my wife's favorite song right now. We're all
beautiful
jamming out to the same song. Hope you enjoy it. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for 2019. We will be back in 2020 for more Daily Zeitgeist. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I'll fight sleep with ammonia. And every morning we fight so bad. I miss them for the tears they shed. But I'm actually good. Can't help it if we're tilted. I am actually good. Can't help it if we. I am actually good. Can't help it if we're tilted. I am actually good. Can't help it if we're tilted.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, "Well, I had this career before, but it was a waste." And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.